one of the things I tell my ecotoxicology class, I start out a class and I write out a couple sentences on the board, and one of them is, I was finished with this, so I threw it away. And then I say to the students, what's wrong with this sentence? And the answer is, there is no away. Because when you throw something, it's going somewhere else, but it's still present.
That's Pat Schaff. He's a research biologist at the University of Minnesota Duluth, and he works in a field called ecotoxicology, which is the study of poisons on organisms. Some of the types of poisons he looks at are endocrine disruptors, chemicals that, if ingested, can interfere with the endocrine system, or hormone system, in mammals. These chemicals are often man-made. Some unintentionally have had impacts on organisms' endocrine systems, while others were made to have these impacts. One example is ethinyl estradiol, a chemical often found in birth control pills. This chemical has been in focus in some of Pat's most recent research.
And that's really one of the one of the precepts of endocrine disruption, is that we put things somewhere else, but it ends up to be in somebody else's backyard, you know, whether that's a frog's backyard or a fish's backyard, or our own for that matter, coming back in our water supply. It can turn out to be a problem.
This might be the case for one organism's backyard, specifically smallmouth bass in the St. Louis River and its tributaries. Pat and a team of researchers launched a study of these fish after large numbers of male smallmouth bass across the country had been found to have developed female characteristics. These fish are often found in waters that contain some level of ethinyl estradiol.
So these are male fish that are growing eggs in their testes, which, by the way, we know we can do in the lab. If you expose male fish to estrogens, you can make that happen. Wastewater treatment plants can be designed to remove pretty much anything that we put in the water. It's just a matter of money. And it takes a lot of money to take all these little tiny chemicals out. So what ends up happening is that they end up going through the waste treatment, and they end up in our waters. And the ethinyl estradiol is an especially good example because we know where it comes from. We can locate it. We can measure it pretty easily. And then we can also see effects in and around the area of the outflow from wastewater treatment plants.
Pat and the other researchers are interested in learning more about whether this phenomenon of male fish developing eggs is a result of the presence of ethinyl estradiol in our waters. But first, they have to answer a question that you might find somewhat surprising.
And this is going to sound kind of strange, but we actually don't know whether growing oocytes in male fish is normal or not. We're very used to the idea that males are males, females are females, and never the twain shall mix. Well, that's not how nature works. There are quite a few animals that can actually exist somewhere in between those two, or can switch from one to the other. And actually, many species of fish, marine fish especially, are able to switch genders from one to the other in certain environmental circumstances. So a fundamental question with bass is, can they do it when they have not reached adulthood yet? Is there a period where they're genetically one gender, but they have characteristics of both? And that might be just a normal situation until they get to a certain point.
Pat and the other researchers are conducting an experiment to see if this is the case. They took freshly fertilized tiny bass from a lake near the Boundary Waters and have raised them in two tanks, one with regular controlled conditions and another one dosed with ethinyl estradiol.
We wanted to see what normal development looks like and then what development under a load of endocrine receptors would look like. We grew them all up and we now have their little testes in paraffin blocks, and we will this coming summer we're going to be able to look at those slides and see. We might get an answer as to whether there are testicular oocytes in non-dosed smallmouth bass or not.
Pat and his team are keeping quiet about what they've observed so far until they can complete their study this summer. But in the interim, Pat hopes everyone will spend more time thinking about what we throw away and where it might end up.
We've been running a grand chemical experiment in the world, and the subjects are us. Because 75 years ago, there was barely anything out there. And since World War II and the advent of the more or less the chemical age, we have been just producing stuff and letting it go out into the environment with very little real thought. We can change a great deal of our own local environment by doing things like paying attention to what we put into the drains or into the gutters. I think a lot of people think when they throw their cigarette butts onto the sidewalk or on the lawn or something, they think, oh, it's organic, it'll just disappear. Actually, you know, it goes down and all those poisons drain away into the water and they go into the stream and they have effects there. It's things like that. We could each, you know, put trash where it belongs. Make sure that you don't put even things like animal waste. You know, the things that people are always bugging us about. Do those things. That's what we can do.
For the Lake Superior Project, I'm Kelly Schoenfelder. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. Support for this project comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Music and sounds in this feature were produced by Peter Elvin. For more information, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.